CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
And we are back, folks, for another edition of the Michigan Basketball Insider. We're just dropping episodes left and right, right? Because there's so much to talk about. The NBA Draft Combine upon us, and Hunter Dickinson, his name is in the draft. This is a big moment for him. An assessment of where he is relative to the competition in the draft. Better position him to understand what NBA scouts are looking for. How close is he really to being what they want in a pro big man? Joining us to talk about that, my partner on this podcast, a former NBA big man himself and first round draft pick, knows what it takes to get there as that first round draft pick out of the University of Michigan, played 10 years in the NBA, now a broadcaster with Bally Sports Detroit, breaking down Pistons broadcast, and then, of course, a great color commentator on the college scene, one of the best in the game, none other than my man, Tim McCormick. Tim, how are you?
I'm really good, Sam. How's your summer going?
It's going great. You know, very, very full. A lot going on the basketball and football recruiting side of things. But as we can see, a lot going on as far as, the basketball team and a guy like Hunter being in the draft. And a lot of folks wondering, like, okay, you know, what does this mean? What is this about? I know we talked about it before, but is there a different feeling as you've talked more to NBA scouts? Do they feel like maybe he's a little closer than they thought? What does he need to work on? All of these questions that we covered before become more prominent as he gets closer to the combine.
Sam, there's so much to still learn about a player like Hunter Dickinson. We've seen him one college season, and his journey was really fascinating. You know, he didn't start the first five games of his career. In the preseason workouts and scrimmages, Austin Davis beat him out, and we like Austin Davis, but I've wondered throughout a lot of the year, were they just trying to bring Hunter along slow, or was Austin actually a better player? And then Austin Davis was injured and Hunter was thrust into the lineup and he dominated. He took off as a player and became second team All-American, became an all Big Ten player. He became a Big Ten champion. And so I think it's totally appropriate that he go out there to the draft combine, go through the interview process. Listen to the NBA scouts, talk to the NCAA college certified agents and find out what his stock is so that he can come back, unless he hears something crazy. And it only takes one team to fall in love with you. But I do think he will come back, and he'll come back loaded with knowledge of how he can become an NBA player. Right now, Hunter Dickinson's good. He's really good. And he's capable of a lot more. That's the key.
You know, I wonder, as we talked about Hunter the last time, we got a response via Twitter from a guy I like to follow on Twitter. Really, really good basketball head. I want to shout him out. @TheReal_GR3. George, I like following you on Twitter. You do your thing. He said, I listen to you guys. And, you know, my comparison for Hunter Dickinson is Brook Lopez. And I'm curious what you think of that, Tim. Do you think that ceiling is there, a Brook Lopez ceiling is there for Hunter?
Oh, my gosh. I am such a Brook Lopez fan. And I remember when Brook and Robin Lopez, his twin brother, were at the top 100 camp, how hungry they were to learn and so cerebral, and they both became jump shooters. When they were at the top 100 camp, no range on their shot. 15 feet for a free throw was a good thing. and so to watch both of them as pure shooters, especially Brooke, shows the divide. I don't think that's a good comparison right now, because I don't think Hunter Dickinson has 3-point range on his shot.
See, but I guess what I would like to do is compare them at the same stage of development. You said at the MBPA camp, the Players Association Top 100 camp, when you saw them there, they were like, they can't, these guys aren't 3-point shooters. They got free throw range, right? Now yeah. Look at them. Weren't you saying the same thing about Hunter when he was at the Top 100 camp?
Fair point. Very fair. At the same point in time, the comparison can be made. But Brooke and Robin spent more time in college, and they fine-tuned some of their skills. And so my biggest hope is that next year Hunter is back in Michigan's lineup, and all of a sudden he's expanded his range to 17 feet. You don't go from being a post player to a 3-point shooter immediately. I think that it's very important that you just get repetitions, work on your form, and move your game out to the perimeter. And remember, there's a huge difference between a college three and an NBA three. And so it's going to be really important. You know, Isaiah Stewart, the center for the Pistons right now at Washington, he only took 10 threes when he was a freshman. And did not, I think he was 40%, which is fine, but he just did not shoot a lot of repetitions. Last year for the Pistons, he really took another step. And it's so important that Hunter do the same thing, because quite frankly, if he does not show that he can make some perimeter jump shots, I think that severely limits the way the NBA will look at him down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Great, great stuff. Well, now it's time to bring in the man of the hour as he heads into the NBA draft combine, get a look at his mindset, his expectations, what he thinks he needs to work on. We can dig into all of those things with the guy who set the Big Ten on fire as a true freshman, as a player, and as a guy that's willing to, hey, look, I don't care that I'm a freshman. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. I love that about him, too. With no further ado, Hunter, thanks for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. So, Hunter, we're proud of you and we're excited for you. I know this is a great time in your life, making the evaluation of whether you're ready for the NBA or not, or whether you're going to come back and lead Michigan to national championships. How is the process going? Can you talk a little bit about the evaluation, the draft combine, interviews? What are you going through now? And also, tell us a little bit about your workouts.
The draft process, it's a real grind. So you're trying to prepare yourself in the workouts, working out 2 to 3 times a day, every day. And that's a grind itself. But there's so much behind the scenes stuff that you got to focus on, signing, papers and emails and stuff like that you got to look for. There's a lot of stuff going on. It makes it feel like you're already in the NBA with the kind of schedule that they got you going on. But, it's fun for me right now to go through it, and I'm having fun with it.
So you're, I saw on social media, you're doing a lot of your workouts with Luka Garza from, he's in the draft. You guys are getting ready to go to Chicago and work out. What specifically are you working on in preparing for workouts where the NBA is going to be watching to answer questions, to find out more about your game? What are your workouts like specifically? What are you doing?
A lot of stuff on the move. I think I'm a pretty good spot up shooter from three right now. I think the biggest thing that I'm working on is just getting shots on the move. Trying to get myself out of rhythm and get more game like shots in there. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm focusing on right now.
Hunter, you have a great resource in Luka, and I know you worked out with him last year. And he made the decision to come back for one more year. And I'm curious if you've had a chance to talk to him about what went into his decision about whether to stay or go last year. Have you guys had that conversation?
Not too much, but I know something that was really weighing into his decision was just the matter of COVID and everything, and he wasn't sure kind of how everything was going to work out with the draft stuff. And so I think he felt more comfortable just coming back and just going one more year.
Man, so I watched you going back to the top 100 camp in high school, talk to, you know, your AAU coach, your high school coach. And the thing that grew the most to me, and you tell me, you're the guy, you tell me if you agree, was they would talk about how, hey, Hunter's made some strides defensively, but, you know, this is something that he really needs to work on. And I just felt like that part of your game grew leaps and bounds from high school to even just your first year in college. And I'm curious if you feel the same way.
Yes, for sure. I think that is definitely the biggest thing that, you know, I've improved on since coming to Michigan. And I think that a big reason of that is because of Coach Howard. I mean, like you can't not play defense with Coach Howard. I mean, he demands all of his players be two-way players, and so I think that's something that he emphasized to me specifically right when I got there, was that, I mean, you're like, you can, I'm gonna let you get a lot of freedom on offense, but on defense, like, you gotta hold your own down there. And I think you know, he taught me a lot with, like, you know, in terms of, like, how to play in the post and how to guard the ball screens. And he gave me just tons of knowledge that I just tried to soak up as much as I could. And I think I definitely just became more locked in on defense. I think I took the defensive side more personal than I did in high school. And I think it definitely benefited in my game.
So, Hunter, your relationship with Juwan is really special, and it's obvious to anybody that's watching. He's a coach and a friend and a teacher and so on and so on. What is so special about that relationship? Maybe something that we don't see when we watch a game on TV.
I mean, like, yeah, I really do value that relationship with Coach Howard, because, I mean, he's so much more than a coach to me. I mean, he's one of the few coaches that I just enjoy, like, when he calls me. Like, sometimes, you know, coaches can, you know, really, like, when they're not talking about basketball, it's kind of hard for them to kind of communicate with, like, college age guys. But I mean, Coach Howard, he's just like, I love just hanging around him and talking with him. I mean, like, I look at him more as an uncle than a coach, really. Like, he's somebody that I just enjoy hanging around. And I mean, it's really good when, I mean, like, he's able to teach you a lot of stuff on the court too. So I just really enjoy hanging out with Coach Howard. He's just got such a great personality. He's so caring. And, you know, once you become like family to him, then like you truly are family to him.
From last year, something that's funny, something that's relevant, that maybe you've never shared with anyone.
With Coach Howard?
Yes.
I mean, he's telling me sort of like a story from him. I mean, he's I think the one that I usually don't share is probably like him. He would always tell me like about his playing days, and, you know, every player I'd always tell him about. He'd always have a story about that guy. But I think the best story was when I think we were playing, it was either Purdue or Florida State. And like, I mean, obviously, they have just tons of big men, you know, like Purdue has Zach Edey and Travion, and Florida State have like two guys over 7 foot. But he was telling me how when he was with the Rockets, the two big men on the team were Dikembe Mutombo and Yao Ming. And and he was the guy who had to guard him in practice. And so he said they gave him like two broken noses. They used to just kill him in practice, like, because not even like, and but like they used to beat him up. And that was one of the funnier stories that he used to tell me. It's just how he had a rough in the practices with the Rockets.
So the story that might relate to that, you probably got beat up a little bit by Austin Davis at the beginning of the year. First five games of your freshman year, you were behind Austin. He got a little banged up and you took over and dominated. What was the key to that jump in production? You know, was there something that you learned, you noticed, the light came on, or was it just a matter of time?
I think it was like you said, like a matter of time. I mean, I think I just got the opportunity and took full advantage of it. I think, you know, my teammates did a really good job of putting me in positions that, you know, were successful. You know, they found me in spots where I was able to not have to do too much. You know, obviously the plays and the game plans that Coach Howard and the rest of the staff put in worked. And, you know, I think I'm just thankful to be in such a great position to, you know, really thrive.
You know, Hunter, you talked about the things that you're working on in your game, the places where you grew. Getting back to that defensive piece, man, you know, Coach Stevens back in high school was like, hey, he's gotten in better shape. That has improved his range. I got to believe Sam, working with Sam, man, was a big part of your defensive improvement in college. So in keeping with that, I'm curious with where you are physically, are you where you want to be? Like, what's the next is there a next level for you physically that you haven't gotten to yet?
I think I'm getting pretty close to it. I've lost a lot of weight, a lot of fat on my body over the summer. And so now I'm kind of in the process of just trying to put on as much muscle as I can. I'm probably around 250 right now. I was probably playing at about 265, 266 during the season. So if I can get back up to like 260 for the season, then that would be a good thing for me.
Gotcha. All right. So, man, look, obviously love all parts of your game. You are able to score on the block. You're playing defense, but I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you the favorite part of your game for me is how you get under not just other player skins or other coaches' skins, but the fans' skins. Has that always been you? Has that always been your thing? I grew up in the era of Bill Laimbeer, and that was one of the things I used to love about Lamb, and you sort of remind me of him in the way that you sort of really get in the heads of the opposition.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one of the best things about basketball for me. Like, it's like the competitive side. That's probably why I play it. And I mean, it's just fun to like kind of mess with, like, I don't know, the other team, the other coach.
Mark Turgeon.
Cause especially with the fans, because the fans are just so easy to mess with. Like, I mean, like they just go crazy over anything. I don't know. They catch me at good times. Like whenever I'm bored or anything on Twitter. Like, it's just so easy to make people mad at me, but I don't know. I enjoy it because, you know, I'm kind of like more of like a goofy kind of guy and like pretty funny guy anyway. So, like, I don't know. I just enjoy messing with those kind of people because, like, I don't know. It's just fun for me.
Hey, Hunter, who's somebody on the team last year that was kind of that guy for you, the role model, the one you followed, the one that you looked up to, maybe the one that took you under his wing? Who was that guy for you last year?
I mean, that's so tough because there were so many. I mean, I think because of the team we had last year with the experience we had, I mean, Isaiah for sure, he definitely tried to take everything. You know, I tried to learn as much as I could from him. Mike Smith was another big guy. Like, I probably hung around Mike. It was probably T. Will, Franz, and Mike was probably the most people I hung out with. I was always in the car with Mike. We'd always go get some, like, fried chicken or something like that. That was our spot to go to. Sean D., I loved hanging out with Sean D. He was another vet that, you know, I just really loved, learning from and just kind of being under his wing. Of course, Austin. I mean, Austin was, like, on the court. That's probably the biggest influence for me because I feel like every play, you know, he was in my ear telling me, just giving me little tips. Eli, another, like, basically all the seniors, to be honest. I mean, all of them were great. Just for me, I think they all did a great job of just trying to, you know, pass as much knowledge as they could onto me and just help me in any way they can.
Hey, Hunter, I remember as a freshman, one of the things I'll never forget is walking through the Diag on a fall day, you know, being in the cafeteria in the dorms. Do you feel like you missed out on some of that because you were quarantined and, you know, stuck in your dorm room? Is that something that you missed out on?
Yeah. To be honest, I kind of felt like, I mean, with this year, I kind of really felt like I didn't even go to Michigan, to be honest with you. It felt like more of I was a Michigan basketball player, but, you know, I went to, you know, just college in general. I didn't really feel like I got any type of, you know, real Michigan experience. And, you know, I can just tell that Michigan's such a special school. Even, you know, with COVID, like, just the kind of, like, experience that I would have had kind of, you know, hurts me, you know, to think about, you know, I kind of missed out on a year, but I still had fun. You know, the team itself was, you know, beyond what I could have imagined this year. And those guys are just amazing with the amount of fun that we had. And, you know, I'll remember this year for the rest of my life for sure.
So, Hunter, I'm curious if you know, how far into your timeline you've thought. So you got the combine the 21st through the 27th. The deadline to withdraw is the, you know, it gets into July. Mm-hmm. I think it's like July 19th or something like that. But anyway, have you sort of thought through how long you're going to take in the process after the combine to decide what you're going to do? Obviously, your first priority has to be what's best for you. But in terms of informing Michigan what you're going to do, you have an idea how long you're going to take to make that decision?
No, I haven't. You know, all my thoughts and stuff right now are pretty much on the combine and, you know, like how I do in that. That's pretty much all I've been focusing on for the past 2 to 3 weeks since the decision. And so that's pretty much where my focus is right now. And then afterwards, then I'll probably, you know, start making decisions off that.
Right. And I said that wrong. I guess July 7th is the date to maintain the collegiate eligibility. So take me into the combine process. I mean, you know, what does it entail? You know, how do you get your feedback? How does all of that work?
The combine process, I think, so I'm going to go work out for a team this week, and then I come home for 2 days, and then I fly out to Chicago for the G League combine there. It's from the 18th to the 21st. And then if I do well enough to be invited to the normal combine, that's the 21st through the 28th. And then I think in there they'll have a pro day for my agency. And then after that, I'll have 10 days to kind of either work out for teams and decide what I kind of want to do moving forward.
Have you received any feedback so far? I know the NCAA certified agents can do research for you. What exactly are you looking to find out? Like, if you're a first round pick, you're gone, or do you need to be a lottery pick? Or is this more of an information seeking process? Or it's a tough question to condense, but what exactly are you hoping to hear or looking for?
Yeah, I just kind of want to, you know, see where I stand in terms of NBA teams and what they think of me. I just want them to kind of get another chance to see me and, you know, kind of the improvements I've made since the end of the season, and just kind of, you know, let them see me in another setting.
That's great. And I've got just one last question. And by the way, you're such a good interview. I'm afraid that Sam is going to get rid of me and wants you as his co-host. So be aware of that. So Hunter, what are the pros in favor of returning to Michigan? What are the things that maybe you feel are unfinished business, or things that you didn't accomplish or want to accomplish again?
I mean, one of the biggest pros is definitely we just talked about that Michigan experience, being able to be an actual Michigan student is something that, you know, would be, you know, a great experience for me, something that I wish I had this year. And then probably the second biggest, or this might even be the biggest pro, one of them is, you know, to kind of try to rewrite the story that we left off on last year. I don't think anybody on the team expected us for the journey to end in the Elite Eight. I think we all thought that we were talented enough to win two more games and hopefully make it to the national championship and, you know, try our hand with that. But I think, you know, now with Coach Howard, every year Michigan has those national championship aspirations. And I think with me coming back, I think we'd be in a really good position to try to reach those goals.
You know, Hunter, you obviously have an idea, if you did come back, of what the other guys that are coming back would bring to the table. But I'm curious, have you had a chance to watch, to look at, are you aware of the talents of any of the rookies, the freshmen coming in? Any of them kind of catch your attention yet?
You know, I probably got to do a better job of watching the younger generations below me. You know, like on social media and stuff, it's hard. But, you know, I've heard things, you know, from coaches and other players about the guys coming in. And, you know, I've heard about all the potential and all the talent. And, you know, I'm sure Coach Howard is excited and the rest of the coaching staff, you know, to get their hands on a new group of guys. And so, you know, I'm excited for them. You know, they're going to be able to get a real summer and something that I didn't. And so hopefully, you know, they're able to do a lot more this summer and, you know, get a better head start than my class did and, you know, be able to hit the ground running in the preseason and get ready for, you know, another grueling Big Ten season.
Well, Hunter, look, man, I wish you nothing but the best in your draft preparation, the combine, whatever endeavor you embark upon. Good luck with it, man. I hope you kill it. Thanks a lot for joining us. Always a pleasure, at least for me. I know it is for Tim, too. And I wouldn't replace Tim. We would just have two. We just have a three-man team, man. Why not?
Yeah. That's good, Hunter. Every good big man tandem needs a point guard to run the show, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and I want to see you at a football game next year. I always feel like the worst seat in the house is right behind me. But I think that it might even be a worse seat sitting right behind you.
All right, Hunter. Hey, man, thanks a lot for your time. Appreciate it, and good luck.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Hunter. Talk soon.
All right, see you.
Always great to catch up with Hunter. I just like talking to the dude. I mean, he's if I were a 7-footer, Tim, my mentality would be a lot like Hunter Dickinson.
Sorry. I think he's a cool guy. I mean, he's got a little edge to him. He's got a good look, and his game is sterling. So yeah, I'm with you. I am a Hunter Dickinson guy.
All right, so you are Hunter. You're going into the combine. I mean, what do you need to work on? How would you? What's the fit like? Are there any guys that maybe similar skill sets in the NBA right now that you're seeing? I know maybe they're few and far between, but you're seeing starting to get more usage in the NBA?
Well, let's say this. Let's talk about where Hunter is right now and what he showed last year. Mainly a back-to-the-basket post player. Taco Fall at Boston was used a little bit more by Brad Stevens this year. Boban Marjanovic, you know, two really big guys. He had a nice role with Dallas. He started playoff games for them. And so my hope is always that the NBA goes in cycles, and eventually you're going to see more teams take advantage of a stud in the low post like Hunter Dickinson. But there are things that I think that Hunter needs to improve. First of all, his body. He's big and strong. But it's more that natural lumberjack strength, right? Where he's just a big, strong dude. But I think he was hurt last year by the pandemic and the quarantine and being stuck in his apartment for a long time. I don't know if he ever fully got into great shape where he could play an 8 to 10 minute stretch at maximum speed. He had to come out and get a rest. I know I would have been the same way. I think he can become more athletic, more of an above the rim guy. I think that's something. Think about this. Against UCLA, Michigan had a baseline out of bounds and they ran a lob play, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yes.
They ran it for Brandon Johns. They didn't run it for Hunter. You know, your best dunker, your most powerful guy, because he's not that above the rim guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see him continue to sculpt his body with John Sanderson, and I also think there's some other things other than the athleticism. I think that pick and roll discipline is going to be very important. to set screens and have great footwork to roll without committing fouls, getting to basket range within a step and a half. Those are really good things that come with time. Better perimeter defense. His post defense, I think, was good, but being able to switch on to a point guard is a really coveted asset in today's NBA. Can he move from post game to 17-foot range and eventually knock down some threes? Those are all areas that are going to do nothing but enhance the value of Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, the marching orders are clear. What kind of, I said before when we talked about Hunter, you know, there's an NBA scout, an NBA coach better equipped to tell him what he needs to do than Juwan Howard. So I'm curious, what type of role do you think Juwan can play for Hunter, or will play, in my opinion, for Hunter Dickinson in year two, in helping not only, you know, getting him to the point where Michigan wins even more than they won this past year, but also developing Hunter's game to make it more NBA ready?
Well, I watched the relationship really close this year, and I think that Juwan and Hunter have a special relationship. I think it's part friendship. I think it's part mentor, sage wisdom, not afraid to give you a kick in the backside when you need to be pushed, but also to understand that sometimes an arm around the shoulder, you can do this, is very important. Juwan's great as a role model. And I think that Hunter will look back on his career someday, 20 years from now, and say that Juwan Howard was one of the most influential relationships in his entire life, definitely his basketball career, but in his life. And I think that Hunter would be wise to learn as much as he possibly can from Juwan before he moves on.
Right. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, we're talking about coaches here. There's some big coaching news just in the world of sports in general. I just got to ask you about, you know, your take on Coach K. He's obviously one of the greatest coaches ever in the history of sports. But do you agree with Jay Billis that his are going to be the hardest shoes in the history of sports to fill?
That might be a bit of a stretch. I mean, there have been so many great great coaches over the history of time. So right. I think Coach K is on that list. I had an opportunity to spend time with Coach K. Two separate times, he had me come into Durham to speak to his team, to give a motivational speech and a talk about teamwork and leadership and discipline. And I've given hundreds of speeches, but those two were you know, right at the top of the list. The other one was I talked to the Michigan football team once, and that was a thrill for me. But before the speech, I sat in Coach K's office, just the two of us. And I asked him, I said, what's something from a transformational standpoint that's really important to you as a coach that really helped you? And he did something that was really neat. He held out an open hand. And I mean, you can imagine, like, I'm just, my eyes are wide open when he's talking. And he said, you know, most basketball teams are like an open hand. You've got five fingers, just like you have five players, and they're all kind of pointed in different directions, and they're breakable and fragile. But here at Duke, we start talking about academic excellence, and slowly he's closing his hand and the fingers are coming a little bit closer. And we talk about competing for ACC and national championships. We talk about ethics and integrity. And with each term, his hand starts closing, and all of a sudden he has a fist. And he said, a fist is compact. It's tight. It's about a team. It's about toughness. It's strong like a rock. And then he punched his hand, his open hand, with his closed fist. And he said, a fist can deliver a knockout blow. And it was just such a really, really good analogy about life and teamwork and sports. And so I really embrace the time that I've spent with Coach K, and think he truly is an amazing lifelong coach.
I respect the man. I respect him as one of the greatest. I'm Michigan through. I can't stand Coach K.
that's because he wins. That,
you're right.
That makes people mad.
Hey, yeah. Man. Hey, dude, I couldn't stand Christian Laettner either, but I think Christian Laettner is the greatest college basketball player I've ever seen. So
yeah,
doesn't stop me from respecting them. So, but Tim, always a fun time we have talking Michigan basketball. Hope you enjoyed this chat with Hunter Dickinson. We have much more to come this summer, folks. If you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. They can find it wherever they get their podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, whatever platform they like. They can find the Michigan Basketball Insider. So, again, be sure to tune back in for the next episode of the Michigan Basketball Insider.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sampfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.